today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. It is Late Night Loki episode 4, and I am back after not being able to be there for a couple of weeks. But anyway, there's so much to talk about. This was an episode, you guys. Anyway, all that and more is that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
In our third chair, we have our guest, Brian V. Klein, in the house. How you doing, Brian?
Kind of bored. That was kind of a episode that not much happened. I almost fell asleep during it, so not much to talk about. So
real dud. Not an emotional roller coaster at all.
Total filler.
If you've never heard sarcasm before, you would be very shocked to hear these words.
Yes, this is definitely sarcasm. My mind was blown multiple times for this episode,
at least three.
Yeah, but when the ending happened, especially, by the way, if you're listening to this, there is a post credit sequence. If you turn it off early, go back, because there's a important post credit sequence that we're going to spoil right now. So if you missed it, stop the podcast, go check it out. Yeah, that post credit sequence was insane, and when it happened. Right? And we see this, like, Council of Loki situation, whatever
Council
it's going to be.
Council of Lokis!
So crazy.
A whole lot of Lokis.
There's a whole lot of Lokis in there. We've been looking for Richard E. Grant, and we finally get him, sort of. We get his, like,
with
his
a really bad comics. Yeah. A very bad comics costume with the, like, over-exaggerated everything.
He's wearing his Loki pajamas, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a shitty cosplayer.
Yeah,
he really does.
Dollar store cosplay Richard E. Grant. You get the most acclaimed actor they have here, and it's just like, here's your costume. I'm like, you get this from?
He's the ridiculous one. It's so great.
And an alligator Loki?
An alligator Loki. What in the world?
Alligator Loki. What is that about? Thor.
I was going to say, Frog Thor is out there too somewhere, so there's going to have like a whole variant. Oh, man.
I'm feeling like weird Spider-Verse vibes where it's like, you too can be a Loki, but that doesn't feel nearly as encouraging as you too can be Spider-Man. You know? It's like, you too can be a genocidal maniac with daddy issues.
And a big, really big, sharp set of teeth.
Loki's just a state of mind.
Oh, yeah. You gotta walk out that door. You choose to be a Loki.
Which one will I be today?
Oh, God. You walk out that door, you're a Loki.
Mixing up my hero decision moments.
Yeah.
I'm so tired, guys. This is
you want to go home? That's great. Cool. Just sit here and wait it out. But you walk out that door, you're a Loki. Yeah,
right. Not like this. So stupid.
Oh, God.
Okay, but so big stuff. We really like a lot of the big shocking things in this episode, which to me were obviously Owen Wilson's character getting pruned, and then also Loki getting pruned. But then finding
Loki
out
himself
that
getting pruned.
Pruning might not be death. Pruning may be teleportation of some sort.
Just send him somewhere else. To like some shittier universe or shittier timeline. But like, not only do we have those four versions of Loki there, like if you look at the background, it's like it's New York. Like you can see Avengers Tower on the right side.
Yep.
And it's just destroyed. It's like this is the like shitty awful future of where Loki won, quote unquote, and this is like the next episode is obviously we're gonna get vote Loki, right? Like,
so
it has to be,
right? Yeah, probably.
Oh, I think so.
So the timekeepers or whoever's behind the timekeepers are not killing or genociding populations. They're just sending variants to like a weird place. So does that mean there's like a different weird post-apocalypse where where Owen Wilson just landed and saw a bunch of Owen Wilsons, and please let it be a lie, and please let me see like a crowd of Owen Wilsons going, wow, all at the same time.
Yes.
Like, let it be like the troll of the century.
As soon as you said that, that's exactly what popped in my mind.
Every version of every movie. Like one of them is driving Lightning McQueen, and they're all just like, wow. Yeah.
One of them just is Lightning McQueen. Like they just go all out with it. We already have an alligator Loki. Why not a car Mobius?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that like that for every character has ever been? Like every person has ever been pruned. They're stuck in their own world with all their variants. Oh, crap. That must be hell for some people.
Yeah.
With the 1L. Yeah.
Maybe that is hell. You just have to sit and deal with yourself for the rest of eternity.
I mean, getting kicked in the nads a whole bunch of times by Sif was probably hellish enough, but geez.
Ooh, yeah, that was rough. That was rough. Yeah. Especially with, like, with she has to go through the same diatribe every time. He's just like, yeah, okay, yeah. Just, God, would you kick me in the nuts already, please? God, just get it over with.
By the time she came around and he was sitting down, I'm like, I wouldn't be able to stand up after about 10 or 12 of these things either, man. Holy crap.
Yeah.
What was so neat about that scene is it wasn't about her beating him up. Like, that's not what the pain he was having to go through. It was the pain of him being brought low and being embarrassed. And he said, like, I thought it'd be funny, but it wasn't. And, like, it's him having shame. And that's the moment he's reliving that's hellish to him, you know?
You can see it right at the beginning when he's just like, you know, this is a bad memory, and I remember, like, right after this, I didn't think about it anymore. I went and had a bath. So, let's go have the bath now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it looped. And then you could see that realization of, like, damn it. This is going to happen a lot.
Yeah. They're doing something in this episode with the idea of, like, you know, spending time with yourself and the torture of that, like spending time with your worst moments and stuff. And now he's going off to, is this hell? And it's just a bunch of Lokis. Man, I'm so excited. And I was so shocked that Mobius died, but now there's hope because maybe Mobius is in a world of Owen Wilson's. What do we think of the idea that Loki is in love with a variant of himself? We talked about it already, but I didn't think Disney would go there, honestly.
I mean, he caused the thing that saved himself, so...
Textbook narcissism, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it fits the character.
Yeah, it does. Like, he would be the one.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Mobius, don't kink shame. We don't kink shame around here.
We don't kink shame around here, Mobius. Like, what are you thinking?
I mean, that's the road to his recovery. You can't learn to love someone else until you learn to love yourself, right? So, when you get step one out of the way, now you can go and...
But love yourself. Like, there's... The contextual understanding of that phrase.
It's not a variant of yourself. You're supposed to love yourself, BBK.
Yeah, it's really just accept yourself. They say love is used very broadly nowadays.
And most people don't get the opportunity to be able to physically meet a variant of themselves. So, you know.
Yeah.
Take it as
especially one that's a different gender.
But you do have the opportunity to love yourself every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mentally, spiritually, physically.
Ecumenically. Fiscally.
Fiscally?
So speaking of that, it looks like that was the, you know, all the theories that we were having about him tricking her with the temp pad and saying, oh, you know, nope, it was broken. And yes, it was. He had it to try to, like, manipulate her. That was out the window. It was just that they were ready to die there on Lamentos.
None of those theories panned out at all.
Yeah.
Damn you, Disney. Make us think of something and have it not be true, right?
I'm a little annoyed at the magic love thing, because that's always kind of annoys me in stories, when it's like, oh, we loved each other and we held hands for a second or whatever, and that saved us. Like that little bit of, like, magical thinking. I don't know. You're still in a apocalypse. How did that create variance energy? And like Mobius says, like, narcissistic moment like that, it would create enough variance energy. And it's like, how does that change the timeline enough to, you know, from a how this works perspective, I don't like it.
It wasn't hand wavy though, because they actually said, I mean, Ravonna said, we got to figure out what caused this. So at least there was them trying to figure it out. So maybe they don't even know.
Yeah, they don't know either.
Right. Well, Mobius kind of figures it out.
They don't even know either. They're watching it on the screen, and the thing is, like, the timeline, you know, branch is, like, weaving its way up like a snake. And They were like, have you ever seen a branch like that? Like, this was a new thing for them, too. So,
right. Yeah. Especially in the apocalypse, because they even said something like, this is, they're in somewhere that no one's supposed to survive from, which is the whole basis of what Sylvie was hiding in. But the one thing they didn't do is they didn't show us how the TVA contained all those, you know, the time bomb explosions from the end of the second
bombing
episode.
Of the sacred timeline, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the guy was panicking in the chair in the, in like, the sacred timeline command center or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, those guys were like, oh, God, somebody just bombed the sacred timeline. Ah! Like, that seemed like a really big f***ing event.
I would have just liked it if a scene where that Casey just comes running in like, I got it, guys, don't worry. And then runs off, and then the, at least they showed something. Maybe, I mean, who knows?
Those little rocks that were in my cart that I kept having. I used those. Everything seemed to be okay now.
Still sounds dumb.
It would have been nice if even in the background there was still like some panic happening. But I guess you just have to think like time functions differently in the TVA. So it could have been 50 years for them, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, we'll get to it when we feel like it. The timeline will still be there.
Yeah. Like, we're just, they're just waiting on the variant. They're searching for the variants on the timeline. They could be off cleaning up other cases. And there's a few lines. I made a reference in the first episode we were recording. I was like, maybe this is all Mobius does. Maybe he just deals with Loki variants. This episode, he seemed to really think that. Like, he says, like,
I've been hanging out with too many Lokis.
He says multiple times, I've been dealing with all these Lokis, and it's like, there's two that we know about. So is, are all these Lokis he sent to this planet, are this post-apocalypse, is that all the Lokis that, you know, he's dealt with? Are these the variants they've pruned?
Technically, we've only seen four of them. Right? Like, technically, we've only seen four.
You mean on the plant, in the post-apocalypse?
Right, in the post-apocalypse. So, we know that there are at least six Loki variants, but, like, we don't know if it's a whole city full of them.
Right.
He asks, is this hell? Am I dead? And they say, no, but if you stay here, you will be. So, like, they're the welcoming committee at the very least. But what past that?
What a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's why Richard E. Grant's version, like, that variant looks just so disgruntled.
He looks terrible. He looks so terrible.
He's just standing all frumpy.
I'm seriously getting Spider-Verse vibes, right? Like, you have an animal version. Right? You have an animal version. Uh-huh. You have
a kid version.
You have a kid version. You have a person of color. You have a
an old version.
You have an old man version. You have a frumpy version. You have a female version. Like, this is like Lokiverse right here. This is welcome to Lokiverse.
Yeah. Oh man, the Lokiverse would be so good. Oh God,
we got to talk about Ravonna and the Timekeepers, man. That was just a whole
huge deal.
Holy crap!
Well, it's a huge deal, but it also led to nothing, because now we just know someone created the TVA. Someone set all this in motion. We don't know who. Ravonna seems like she was in on it.
Oh yeah, she totally was sus on that. She knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah,
you walk into that like Country Bear Jamboree animatronic bad looking crap. You know, like, holy crap. I mean, at first I'm like, man, this CGI is terrible. And then I'm like, oh, they gotta be friggin' robots or something.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I called it right at the beginning of the episode when she walks in and we get that little glimpse. I was like, holy shit, it's the great and powerful Oz.
The glowing eyes.
Turns out exactly that. They're not actually like a thing. There's a man behind the curtain somewhere. There's a Kang behind the curtain somewhere.
Not to compete with, like, who called that, but I said man behind the curtain in Oz in episode one, yo.
I said man behind the curtain in Oz when we were talking about WandaVision trailers, sir.
That was a different show.
How'd I hate when the dads fight? their design was total Time Lords. They had the high collars.
Oh, and for sure.
It was
just God, yes, absolutely.
They're getting a lot of, I mean, with it being time travel and stuff, how it would be hard for them not to have comparisons or either aesthetics looking like for Doctor Who, but, yeah. You know. Where else could you go for some influence? But yeah, those were
this felt very Doctor Who-ish. That whole battle for the multiverse on a bridge, like it all just felt so Doctor Who, like all of it. And I'm here for it. I love it.
Oh yeah.
But now where do we go from here though? This multiple Lokis on this planet, variants. Maybe there's different planets for every variant. Maybe not. Maybe we'll find out. There's a bunch of variants here. Maybe Owen Wilson's character Mobius is here. Maybe they sort. Maybe they're the, like you said, the welcoming committee, and maybe they sort into different communities of different kinds of variants.
It could be.
So they call it pruning, right? But like, oftentimes with plants, you can prune or you can like trim off a part and then go and plant that part somewhere else, mm-hmm. and it becomes a new version of that plant.
Right.
What if the timeline is doing that sort of thing where, like, it branches off from the Nexus event, they prune it here, but it still creates a separate timeline that just keeps going, but doesn't, like, it's separate from the other timeline, or the sacred timeline or whatever.
So the pruning is actually causing it's creating multiverses then, because it's actually, instead of pruning it from the sacred one, it's just creating multiple timelines, multiple universes.
If this theory is true.
Unless that the thing that Kang wants to create, oh yeah, I said it. Maybe that's what whoever is behind the TVA, what they're doing is they're taking variants out of the timeline and putting them so far in the distant future, it's like a trash pile for variants. Right? Like they're just like throwing variants in like a junkyard for variants. And that's where he is. He's like in the interdimensional junkyard.
The garbage dump.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Loki version of Sakaar.
Whatever events that the TVA was created to protect, this is past that in the sacred timeline. And they don't care about variants and all that stuff. They're just like, that's the trash heap of the universe out there. That's past into the future. Again, it's a very Doctor Who idea. They deal with stuff like that. We're like, we're going to go to the edge of time or whatever.
Do you remember that Young Avengers comic that we read, Matt, where mm-hmm. Kang was involved? Young Kang was there. When Kang showed up and was like, look, if he stays here, this is what your time becomes. Like, this is kind of what becomes of your city. It looked a lot like what we saw in the background there.
It did.
Everything's wrecked.
Which we talked about that when we saw the trailer. They showed a shot of the city in the trailer, and we talked about that. But that's a very different thing than whatever this is. Seems like a very different, like, event. Sending them out there. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, like, something happened here. Something happened in this whatever timeline, whatever place they're in, to make New York look like this. And it was at least after Avengers 2012, because Avengers Tower is in the background.
Right. So it does look like the destruction of the city happened sometime shortly after Avengers, because we don't see like a lot of new crazy buildings. Like, the technology doesn't look very different. It looks very much like 2022's version of New York, and it's just been collapsed in on itself.
Homecoming takes place in whatever year, because that's when they evacuate. That's when they leave Avengers Tower, right? So it's not Avengers Tower anymore after Homecoming. So
right. Which it doesn't say Avengers Tower on it anyway. You just see the shape of Avengers Tower in the background, I believe.
It's very prominent on the right side there.
Well, just a quick thing before we go. This is brought up in the chat here. Malkai says, this sounds far-fetched, but since we mentioned the pruning could create possible multiverses, could this be how we get, you know, like the X-Men and Blade? Because Mobius does mention vampires in this movie, or in this episode. So bringing the vampires into this, it could be like, you know, this is how we create getting all these new characters that we from the Fox universe into the MCU with, because we're creating all these possible prune universes that allow us to, you know, get everything in that we didn't have before.
Pruniverses.
The pruniverses.
The creation of the multiverse. opens up those possibilities no matter how they come, I guess. So maybe the pruning
right.
could create, like you're talking about, or maybe it's just the destruction of the TVA. And but now that we know that the timekeepers are bullshit, like, now what even is the TVA and what is its goals? Like,
right, we're back to square one, not knowing.
Right. Is it yeah. possible that the multiverse thing was all bullshit and, like, they've never been keeping the multiverse apart? They just, like, stealing consequential people from the timeline and, like, putting them all in some place where they want, where they want to do whatever with them. I don't know.
Yeah,
we just have to watch next week's episode.
Yeah, we're back at the tagline from last night's episode when Ashley and I were together, or when it was just me and Ashley, and we were like, I don't know.
I still think the multiverse thing is probably what's going on. I say that, but, like, we do see them pruning timelines. We see them stealing variants and setting off those reset charges. That does seem like they are at least stopping these timelines from being created.
Could I be. Mean, it's not like we don't have a movie coming up with, you know, Multiverse of Madness in the title, so we know sure. something has to come with the multiverse, right?
Never heard of it. It's a wild theory.
But I think you're right, especially that Doctor Strange, they talk about Nexus events, Doctor Strange was supposed to appear in WandaVision, all of this was supposed to tie in, so yeah, I think we're still heading to the same conclusion, but I just don't know what the timekeepers, I'm calling them for lack of a better term, want, whoever created the TVA,
yeah,
want with all these yep. variants in this
yep.
dystopia.
I'm laughing because, like, the next logical conclusion that we have to make here with Marvel lying to us is that they're obviously just, they're going to announce fairly soon that the name of the next Doctor Strange film is not actually Multiverse of Madness. It's something like Journey to the Dark Dimension or some bullshit like that. Or, like,
right. Yeah, it's all
the Land of Dreams. It's completely game. Unrelated. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's completely
yeah.
unrelated to Multiverse. They're just like, we got you. Like, man, yeah. fuck you, Feige. That's what I would do. That's what I would say.
It actually has it's actually Nightmare, but it's, yeah. This whole thing with the Multiverse, nightmare. It's just like, you know, it was just to keep you on your toes.
Yep. Could be.
Gotcha.
Could absolutely be.
So, BVK, before we go, I want to point out one thing to you. The in the Council of Lokis, quote unquote, the guy on the left, mm-hmm. the large buff looking guy.
Oh, with the hammer?
Look at his hammer.
That's what she said.
Hey, does that remind you of anything? Like, maybe
I don't have it up, but
Zombie Thor, because it's shaped like a cinder block. The hammerhead is shaped like a cinder block, and it's like it's got like a wrench focusing into it.
I was focused on Dime Store Cosplay Richard E. Grant, so I'll have to go back to go back and, you know, we almost have to do like a shot by shot analysis of that.
Last shot is definitely worth looking at. It's so good. There's an alligator Thor, a child Thor, an old man Thor, and then like a barbarian Thor, like he's wearing like the big.
Replace all of those instances of Thor with Loki and you got it.
Loki, yeah. I was just saying,
why am I saying Thor? Yeah, the hammer's got me saying Thor. I saw him and I was like, is that a variant Thor? But then, well, I thought it might be a variant Thor at first, which is why my head went there. But he's got Loki's symbolage.
Yeah, he's got the Loki's symbolism, like his attire is very evoking of Loki.
On his
that's dumb.
On his like cod piece almost, like on his in that area of his body, he has like the same symbol, the horns or whatever. It's more like below the belt. He has the horns.
He's real
there.
Horny below the belt. He's real horny.
He's got
below
the horn
belt.
Where the horn. That's where his horn should be anyway, right?
Horns just below his belt. All right.
Beside the point.
It is late night Loki. But,
we're getting late night loopy. Am I right?
Indeed. And I've got to go to bed because the longer we go, the longer I have to edit. We're going to be back to talk about this more tomorrow. And we got lots to say. Join us tomorrow. Or, well, you'll be getting this on Wednesday. We'll be doing this Wednesday at, we'll be doing another rewatch at 5 p.m. Central, and then a podcast on Twitch at 6 p.m. Central. So join us at 6. We'll be able to check the feedback and stuff in the Twitch a lot more on that episode.
And check out Source Pages. Our first episode dropped. It's myself, Haley, yeah, and Jeff Randall talking about Black Widow Deadly Origin. It's a fun time. We're all on all major platforms out there, so come check us out.
Yes, absolutely. Source Pages, brand new Stranded Panda podcast. It's freaking awesome, and really excited to have you guys on the network and talking about Black Widow. You need to go
next week.
Breaking down some things that might be in the movie and stuff. So, yeah.
Marvel makes movies still?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Guess.
It's been so long.
It
2 years.
It hasn't felt like it. It's been like 2 years since they put out their last one. But, you know, they're making a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like we're going to get like 15 in the next like 10 months, seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. We're out. We love you all. Thank you for joining us. Love you 3000. Peace.
Until next time, true believers, let's get some sleep.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.